This is Jazz of Enchantment, a radio series spotlighting just some of the talented jazz players with ties to New Mexico. I'm Paul Ingalls. A jazz rhythm duo is jamming in the radio studio. Both are young men, Brandon Draper on drums and Luis Guerra on upright bass. The dark-haired, dark-eyed Guerra stares at a space in midair as he plays. The gangly Draper bounces on his stool as he appears to fling his drumsticks in all directions at once over his kit. His head is turned away from Guerra. His eyes behind wire-rimmed glasses are closed, and his face wears something between a grimace and a smile. Although the two occasionally glance up at each other to exchange a nod or a wink, the music is what pulls them simultaneously through time. Drummer Brandon Draper has been in New Mexico since 2000, moving here after growing up and schooling in Kansas. Now he's teaching at an East Mountain High School and gigging all over town, often with his buddy Luis Guerra. But Draper tells interviewer Roy Durfee it all started with his pounding and tapping at a very early age.
I was fascinated with beating on everything around the house, cardboard boxes and Tupperware. Tupperware, I still remember the fascination as a young boy, the doop, like really short, warm sound you get when you hit a Tupperware.
That's true.
By the time I was five, my parents started me with drum lessons. When I was in college, I played guitar and wrote and sang in a funk band called Walrus. There weren't the jazz gigs that there are here, so I moved here to study to get a master's in percussion. In moving here, I was able to focus just on playing drums. My ears, I really believe moving here, my ears just opened up so much. There were a lot of people, my contemporaries, like Luis, Greg Ruggiero, and Zach Lane are real close friends of mine I met when I first moved here. And, you know, guys my age, into the same music, passing recordings back and forth, and it was a drug. I mean, it was, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I just got a new disc, and I had to listen to that disc.
Name a couple of jazz players that have who have affected you.
Elvin Jones, for sure. Tony Williams. In my youth, Buddy Rich and Gene Krupa. I mean, that was it.
Really?
My teacher was way into that. Tony Williams, taking it to a completely different level. You know, 17 years old with Miles and... Oh, so he's using both his hands on the ride cymbal. No, that's his one hand. Digga-digga-digga-digga-dang, you know, one hand. It's like, good Lord, what's going on? Bill Stewart was a huge influence from the new breed young drummers. Brian Blade was another one. There's a lot of new young guys. Eric Harland, you know, is another one of the young guys to step out that just really is nuts. Tommy Crane, you know Tommy.
Yeah.
Who's been to Albuquerque a few times, plays with Greg Osby. I mean, there's so many people, but, you know, it all goes back to that getting inspiration to create new things. You know, that to me is the most exciting area, because anybody can learn licks. I know a million drummers that can play every lick that's on every recording ever made, but then you put them on a bandstand and they, you know, don't necessarily know how to create. And then on the opposite end, you've got drummers that don't know any licks but are so musical.
In addition to all those drumming greats Brandon Draper lists as influences, there's also the man who, he says, could sometimes be seen around his home in Kansas.
My dad's a ridiculous B3 blues player, so really I credit him for a lot of my music business, quote, skills, because he's just incredible. I mean, he teaches at like 4 colleges, 3 high school drum lines, has a studio of 60 students, plays in a 2 full-time symphonies. I mean, the guy is just... He's home to sleep, and then he's up and he's gone again.
Okay, so basically you're part of a lineage of like high energy dudes. It sounds
pretty
like, huh?
pretty much.
Yeah, okay,
that answers your question from earlier. You asking me?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, is how do you do all of this? teaching on one side of the mountain, playing two or three nights a week on this side of the mountain, and writing music and doing the other things that you do. I see that one of the things you do at East Mountain High is a world percussion ensemble, which sort of feeds into some of the music I've heard you and Luis Guerra doing. Something that kind of comes naturally to you and Luis both, it seems.
Yeah, he's studied so many different musical traditions and cultures and is fascinated just as much as I am, to where in Luis I've found someone that I find a new rhythm or a new anything, you know, that I dig, and I show him, and then he's like, oh man, and then he's showing me stuff, and we're both, you know, it's kind of that like addiction type thing, you know. We've got to be learning new things. Part of the reason why Luis and I are able to kind of flow freely in between rhythms is because he and I have practiced drums quite a bit together, just because we both are passionate about it. So then when he plays his bass, I have a pretty good idea where a lot of the things he's coming from are, and then I have a better idea how to fit into it because I understand his vocabulary, or maybe you could say like accent, like his accent on the instrument, how it's been affected by learning different styles of music, and it'd be the same for me. Relation to the high school, when I took the job, there was an introductory rhythm class and a guitar class. I knew that I could build a percussion ensemble to take the place of a typical band, because it's a very small school, there isn't a typical band program. So I've got a rhythm ensemble that employs 30 students, and that's as many as I can fit in my room. If I had a bigger room, I could have like 70 or 80, and there's usually around 70 or 80 students that sign up and only 30 get in, so it's the first ones that get in, and they explore introductory rhythms. In New Mexico, they cut a lot of elementary school public music education, so I'm getting a lot of students that have never really had music before. So it's like a playground. It's like, all right, you're going to experience music, and we're going to do it, you know, this traditional way. We're learning rhythms that are thousands of years old. I mean, some of these Middle Eastern rhythms are, you know, before Christ. Like, some of this stuff is like the earliest stuff. It's mm-hmm. so ridiculous.
You brought with you a CD of music from, looks like the Middle East to me. Would there be something on there that would illustrate what you were talking about?
Totally. I know the disc. This is Miserly Ahmet. Any of the tracks on here are good. The first one is pretty happening. The first one flips through a couple different time signatures, and you'll hear sevens and fives, and he's playing a bass. Darabuka is his main instrument, which is a larger dumbek. It's an hourglass shaped drum, has two fundamental tones, a dum and a tek. So when teaching the rhythms to young people, or even when I was learning them with my buddies in college, you can sing the rhythm. Dum tek a tek tek a dum tek a tek. It sounds vocally just like it does being played on the drum. So If you want to check out the first track on that, it's called The Story of 6/8. And it's in 6/8, but you're going to hear sevens and fives because, you know, 6 and 6 is 12, 7 and 5 is 12. So maybe we could check a little bit of that out.
Talking with percussionist Brandon Draper. And Brandon, I noticed that although you draw upon music from all over the world, normally when I hear you play, it's a basic trap set. Now, there's some percussionists who hang stuff all over the place and have a bag full of tricks and drop marbles on the drum heads and stuff. And
that could be dangerous, Roy.
Yeah, really?
No, I don't know.
Dangerous for the drumhead?
Throwing marbles around. No, I'm just being a smart aleck.
No, I understand. but there's some people who bring all of that to bear to sort of expand their musicality, and yet, I think that you're as musical a drummer as I've ever heard. So how is that that you achieve that on a basic trap set without all of the added bells and whistles and...
I love having all the added bells and whistles. And if you were to step into my studio in Sandia Park, you would see that. It's almost every gig I play, I'll bring something small, something extra, a small hand drum or something just to give myself a different, whether I play it or not, just so I have another option, whether I play it or not. But in relationship to the basic kit, a four-piece drum kit, three cymbals, there are so many sounds that you can get out of those instruments, just the snare drum itself. You can play a snare drum like a frame drum, you know, like with your fingers, Middle Eastern style stuff. You can, you know, get a lot of the same things out of the toms. I played a gig once and somebody asked me, I play a lot of gigs, I don't open my eyes very much, and I'm kind of just really thinking and exploring and trying to change textures because I feel like I'm not there to keep the time for everybody. I'm there to help sustain some area of texture to lift things up and move us into different landscapes, if you will. So after a gig once or on break somewhere, I was playing, I think it was a gig with Luis and Kevin Hayes in Santa Fe. Someone said, man, you're just always getting different sounds out of things. And I didn't ever think about it, you know. And they're like, well, you were doing this thing with your hi-hat. And it's weird when people tell you what you're doing and you don't, because I don't think like that, you know. I don't think, oh, now I'm going to do this or that was, you know, I don't reflect as much. But then I thought back and was like, wow, yeah, I guess I did kind of get away from something I was doing something pretty different, but it was because I was just trying, I was exploring, I wanted to get something new. I think that's part of, you know, my journey as a musician is always trying to get new sounds and new things and trying different, even if it's, you know, I haven't changed my drums or my cymbal setup in like 3 years. So, you know, I haven't changed drum heads. I haven't changed my tuning. I have, you know, that has remained consistent. So there I'm able to take this instrument that I really know, you know, like an extension of myself and really create, as opposed to a lot of, you know, younger versions of me or younger drummers that are constantly changing things. As an educator, you know, I've got a lot of drum set students, a lot of kids at my high school that are, you know, I'm fairly opinionated in what I want to do, but I'm always telling them, no, man, switch it around. Try this, try that. Tune it up, tune it down. What do you like? You know, this is when you got to explore. That's the whole, you know, when I was little and looking in Tupperware, it was, should I get this one or should I get that one? Well, I'll get them both. Well, I'll switch them around. Well, you know, it's like the playground, you know, recreating that sandbox. because if that creativity is lost, then the music isn't going to be new, I don't think. And that's so, so important that we take, personally, I think it's so important to take this jazz music, if you want to call it jazz, but it's, you know, lately there's all these influences, you know, groups out of New York and Los Angeles and, you know, in Europe and Africa. I mean, all these wonderful groups that are blending all these world rhythms to where, you know, it's becoming something new. It's not, you know, you won't go out and hear a regular gig that I do if it's something, perhaps I'm like with Stu McCaskey and Luis Guerra over at Skylo, we aren't going to play out of a real book all night long. We're going to do a lot of original compositions. We're going to reharmonize things. We're going to try. I did an arrangement of Green Dolphin Street in 7 that's kind of wacky. I did a blues. I just wrote a blues that is in 21. It's a Russian dance rhythm. It's dum tak dum tak dum dum tak dum tak 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 1 2 3 4 5 so it's 9 7 and 5 dum tak dum tak 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 and that vocalization goes back to the what we just listened to, Misery Liamet. The it's all, you know, you vocalize it, then you don't have to think about 1 2 3 4, you know, you're just feeling this pulse. And so it's a blues, man. Blues is, that's a pretty old song form style.
Uh-huh.
But
absolutely.
Redo it with something different. And some people won't like it. Some people will listen to it and just be like, oh, this isn't jazz. And it's like, well, maybe it's not. Maybe it's, we're going in a different direction. But if we can blend it, you know, I think that is at least new. I don't know. I kind of went off there.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good. Well, so what does the future hold for 27-year-old Brandon Draper, who's teaching school here in Albuquerque, but whose sort of musical skills could, if you wish them to, like, take him to other places?
Right now, I really want to travel to, I want to study in Cuba, I want to study in Brazil, Africa, Puerto Rico, India. I just want to, I feel like I'm at a point where I really need to go there, because I've studied with a lot of people that have been there or are native to those areas. I've also studied a lot in institutions and colleges where, you know, some professors have done a little bit of research there, but, you know, I really need to get to the source. So that's the most immediate thing, and then bring all of that back to my students so that way there's a whole new breed of new stuff coming out. I don't know where I'm headed. I don't know.
But basically, that I heard the word student in there. So basically, you want to kind of search the world, you know, for the roots of the music. But you seem to feel a personal commitment to to bring that not merely to listeners like myself, but actually to students, to young people who or old people, I suppose.
Anybody. I'm a lifelong student. I'm always learning.
Does that make you a lifelong teacher as well?
It has to. It's where it's at. And then as a performer, it's just one more area where I can do what I do. You know, I feel that I'm a performer just as much as I am an educator, just as much as I am a student. So if I spend an hour after school today teaching a kid Telemann Sonatina, you know, on marimba, and I'm getting a little frustrated, but then he gets it, it's like, oh, right, you know? It's like I might have had a headache, and all of a sudden it's gone. And then if I can perform in front of, you know, thousands of people, and I do a solo, and they respond, it's like, oh, right. And then if I wake up on a Saturday morning and I turn on a Ganesh Kumar South Indian Kanjira video and I'm practicing along with it while I'm drinking my coffee and I'm like, hey, honey, come check this out. And so of course she's okay, you know, it's like I'm the same amount of intensity and passion fills up inside me, you know. So I think all three of those together is just going to continue to go, and just traveling. I gotta get around and take my kids different places, go perform different places with some of the groups I've been working with here. We've got some tour things set up, should be happening in the next 6 months, and So, you know, definitely taking it.
So Kansas or New Mexico or Turkey, it all works for you musically.
Oh, man, whatever. It's all good.
This is a home studio recording of a Brandon Draper original called Solace. Draper on bass, piano, and of course drums. He was interviewed by Roy Durfee, and you can hear more from our interview and recording session with Brandon Draper by visiting our website, newmexicojazz.org. That's newmexicojazz.org for more profiles of New Mexico jazz musicians. Series engineer is Nola Daves Moses with help from Carol Boss. Web design and photography by Genevieve Russell. Funding from the New Mexico Humanities Council, the City of Albuquerque's Urban Enhancement Trust Fund, KUNM, and Good Radio Shows Incorporated. I'm Paul Ingalls.